In in Romans 15:13, it says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." God is a God of hope. There is no hopeless situation in the Lord. No matter what it looks like in the natural, there is no hopeless situation. God always has the ability to, in an instant, turn something around that even for decades has looked like it's one way. He can turn it in an instant. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the God of hope desires to fill us up with hope this morning. Amen. There may be a situation in your life that seems hopeless. The enemy desires to crush our hope. Because when our hope is crushed, our heart stops believing in God. And God has designed us to live in faith and in hope and in love. The three greatest things. And so this morning, I just believe that if there's a circumstance in your heart where your hope has been crushed, the God of hope wants you to abound with all hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by the power of you trying harder and saying, if I do it harder this time, it'll be different. If I read my Bible more, if I spend more time with the Lord. But no, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit, by us just opening up to Him, saying, maybe I don't understand, maybe I've never done this before and worship Him in this way, but God desires this morning just to restore hope to you. And so if that's you this morning, you can just stay where you're at and just raise your hands to the Lord. And I'm just going to pray and we're just going to continue to worship here. And I believe that because God is a God of hope, He's going to be who He says He will be to you by the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. So if that's you, just raise your hands to the Lord. Father, I thank You that You are the God of hope this morning. I thank You as we worship You, God, that every spot in our hearts that have been crushed, every spot in our lives that has been overcome by hopelessness. Father, I thank You that every spot in our heart where hope has been pushed away and deferred, and our heart has become sick, we've lost faith. We've lost the picture of who You are in our lives. The good picture, that this morning, God, we're raising You up for who You really are. We're seeing You for who You really are. We're declaring You for who You really are. The God of hope, the God of peace, the God of ability, the God of power, the God of grace, the God of mercy, the God of salvation, the God of rescuing power, the God of unfailing love. The God of great and boundless mercy. That's who You are, God. We raise You up for who You are this morning. We see You for who You are, God. The God of goodness. The God who never fails. The God whose mercies are new every morning. The God whose faithfulness is great. The God who has rescued me. The God who will do it again. The God who has never failed. It's who You are, God. So I pray, God, You'd restore hope to the hopeless this morning, God. You'd restore faith and belief to the spirits who've been crushed, God. You'd heal the wounded hearts this morning, Lord. As we worship You, as we receive from You, God, as we honor You this morning, the God of hope, the God of hope desires You to abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's who You are, it's who You are, the God of hope. It's who You are, it's who You are, it's who You are, the God of hope. It's who You are, it's who You are.
Who You are. God, could we? Could there be a better God than the one that we have? Lord, we just bless you this morning, Lord. Let's just lift up a shout of praise to him this morning. Lord, we bless you. We exalt you, God, in this house. We bless you, Lord, for who you are, Lord.
Took one look, the nails pierced through your hands. Glanced for a moment at the scars upon your back. Well, I have no words, no way to thank you enough. Oh, Jesus, what a love. Oh, Jesus, what a love. took one look at the nails pierced through your hands. Glanced for a moment at the scars upon your back. I have no words, no way to thank you enough. Oh, Jesus, what a love. Oh, Jesus, what a love. And I am ruined, ruined by your sacrifice. I'm ruined, ruined by your love. I am ruined, ruined by the price you paid. I'm ruined, out for all you are. I have been longing to gaze into your eyes. On my bed I will weep till I rise and I see the one I love. You're the one I love. And I'm ruined, ruined in your presence. I am
Father, our eyes are on you this morning, and we declare in faith that we're ruined by your presence, ruined by your love, ruined by your face, ruined by your eyes. Lord, we declare this out corporately in this house and for ourselves individually, Lord God, that this is the desire of our heart to posture ourselves, Lord, for that ruining. It's a process to be able to say, God, nothing else matters other than you. Ultimately, it's you. It's your heart. It's your voice. It's all about you. Nothing else, oh God. Father, we honor you in spirit and in truth. We honor you, word, Lord God. We honor you in every way. We honor what you are saying. We hold fast to all that you have released. We hold fast to that which you have shown us, you have spoken to us. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the unmovable one. And we desire to be unmovable in our devotion and our dedication to you for your honor, glory, and grace. Thank you, Lord. That's the desire of our hearts. Thank you for strengthening and empowering us. Thank you, oh God, that you're here, and without you, we can do nothing. Thank you, Lord, for the release of increased hope, for that is very, very much your heart. You are hope, and you are hope that has been released to the hopeless. Our situation in life, Lord God, our state of the union is hopeless, Lord God, without you. We thank you, Lord, that you are our hope. You are the one that releases us into that place of saying, yes, Lord, I trust you. Thank you, Lord, enlarging the capacity of our hearts this morning to say, I trust you. I believe you. I hold fast to your promises, and I will testify of your greatness. We desire, God, to see you pour out your spirit on all flesh. All flesh is promised in Joel 2. We desire to see it, to not waver from it, to hope and dream for it, and to be part of it. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for continuing to be ever-present and speaking to us and surprising us with suddenlies, surprising us, oh God, for the very things and the very hopes and dreams that we have that we least expect to maybe come to pass instantly can by you, through you. For all things are for you, through you, by you, created by you. And we thank you, Lord God, that as our eyes really are feasted on your face and believe these truths, our ears are attuned to what your word is saying, what you are speaking, and what you are releasing prophetically, that we won't lose hope and we won't, Father, give up or give in or waver, God, even when it's uncomfortable. Thank you, Lord. We will not be weary in well-doing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we can only say that, not by our own strength, not by might or by power, but only by your Spirit. And we say these things, God, trusting in who you are. We sang it out this morning. We trust in who you are. Thank you for strengthening our faith. Thank you, Lord, that our faith is in you. Not in faith, but in you, oh God. Just praise you this morning and honor you. We believe in this place that the Lord speaks through his word to us. And he speaks in many other different ways as well, and his word backs that up. He never contradicts himself. Oh, prophetic one, oh God, you know the beginning and the end. Our futures are in your hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust you, rest in you, and be brought into the place of having an entrance into what you may want to do in this country, in this region, in our families' lives, in this house, all over the world. So thank you, Lord, for revelation knowledge that you have released. We guard it. It's precious to us because it comes from you. We thank you for that today. We have a 30-second clip right now. We played it about a year ago or so. Sorry? It's not? You sure? Okay, it's not there. Well, if we can, see if we can find it. Just 1 second, I'll tell Andy something that will encourage us. So just see if we can get this clip. If not, I just want to start with another clip that we do have to celebrate something very important to us, and that is what God has done for us. And we don't want to step back from that in any way. We want to celebrate. It's been 9 full years, not half years, not 8.2. It's 9 completed years for Frontline Worship Center, and we had our first service on 9/11/2005, and it's 9 complete years. And last year we mentioned this, and this year we've gone through these 9 months, and it's 9 complete years. The ministry itself began in 1995. We know that there's a progression here. But as far as having the actual church building, this place establishes a church, it's been 9 complete years. And so as we were talking about this recently and sharing about it in worship on a Tuesday night, we know that God has really been increasing us in the last, 9 years. But in the last month particularly, there's been seemingly a breakthrough in the spirit in the area of worship. We're not really sure what to say about it, how to define it, but we know that God's done something and he's doing something, and we just want to thank the Lord for that, and we're just going to continue to rise. There have been many, many words spoken over this place and how God is going to use this place, is using this place, and the people that he's bringing in, what he's going to do. And so I asked Andy, if you can't find that, we can show the 2005, we can show that clip. It was up there. Okay, this is, we all look a little younger, but you're going to look at this and go, oh my gosh, get out that wheatgrass. But this is something that Andy put together, and it, you know, it was back when the sea was orange in here. And so I just saw this yesterday, and it's a few minutes. And we just want to celebrate what God started. There are about 20-some people there. Some are on the floor or on the benches or out there somewhere. Some are still, they're away for the weekend or in college or whatever. So it's not a complete picture, but it is a picture. And when I saw it yesterday, it was just like, oh my gosh. So Carl, get ready. You'll see yourself. All of us are like, we're looking really slick and young. So younger. But that's good because God is good. So Andy's going to play this, and we just want to celebrate this very place, what he's been doing for 9 years.
Hey, this is only the beginning. Oh my word. Hey, God. Mm-hmm. Wow. I remember, those of you who are in Brazil with me know what I'm talking about, those of you who weren't in here. But after we did a crusade, I did it for a whole bunch of people in Brazil. We had prophetic worship time. It was a day God had really broken through in the spirit through the worship that had gone out that night. It was such a rough territory that we were involved in, and worship to Jesus and for Jesus was just so awesome. I just really believe that the acts of worship in this house, this building and such, the Lord's really going to honor that in a way, not just in our hearts, but also in this place for future worship and expressions of worship. And we haven't yet even touched the depths of creativity that He has for us. And I wanted to ask Cynthia what she was doing here. I mean, we can guess, but maybe she could share.
Okay, no, I was drunk. I don't know, that's just a picture that I had at the beginning of worship. It's kind of a tornado with arrows flying out of it in different directions. And the red thing, it's red because it's the only other color that was up there. didn't really see it in color when I saw it in my mind, but I drew it in black and white in my case. I had to put it up there so I did. But she said she had heard recently about something to do with Jason Upton of how the tornado was actually pulling down the glory of God. And so kind of have general senses and thoughts about the arrows just going out from the tornado. What seems to be a mess is a mess that's really power and glory. And it's kind of breaking out of a box or cup or building, whatever you want to put to it. That's what I saw in the beginning.
All these things. And we've learned over time that as God has spoken to us through so many different people in recent years, particularly, it's expanding. When you put it all together, it's so much fun. It's like, wow, God, you are really creative. And you let us know that you're behind us and you're in front of us. And you're with us. You're just all encompassing. And we approach Him humbly and simply and lay ourselves down in our own independent thinking, then God has run to work. The Lord is just, He's just looking for simple people who want to worship Him with all we have. And when we are abandoned to that, it's going to be awesome in here. And then things are going to happen quickly. Very, very quickly. What we've been praying and asking God to do, not knowing what it would look like, happened in actually one weekend. He really wants to raise up and increase us in the area of intercession and to learn more about that. And this is a platform, a place where we're going to be speaking and receiving and learning and teaching and imparting as we're worshiping and such, in a way in which we're able to all grow and receive. And when people come through that door, wow, it'd be great to see cancer just fall off and fall on the ground. I believe that's coming. You know, I believe that the summer when we saw the blind eye open and healed instantly. When I think of it, it makes me crazy.
Wow! Thank you. There's more. I haven't seen it, but there's more, I guess. So praise the name of Jesus for this, and God's been doing amazing things. And I know that, did you find that, Andy? You still didn't find it at the bottom? Okay. Well, there was a prophetic word given by Heidi Baker, and I played it here. It was something that I tried to get on my Facebook again this morning. But I played it here this about a year ago or so, and she gave it in 2010, and it's a video clip. And what she was saying was that the Lord had revealed to her when she was here in 2010 that there was going to be a mighty revival in the Cleveland area. And we're part of that in the sense we're about an hour away, so it's filtering down. So what she said was,
It was a very long pregnancy, and it is a very long pregnancy, but it's time for us to push and make sure that we continue to push, and says, don't be weary in well-doing. It's not an easy one. It's a long pregnancy, and it's a long push. So here it is, 2014, and we've completed 9 years. And it's interesting that it's not 9 months, it's 9 full years. And we just really had a sense that God was doing something. There have been a lot of words that we have released here of late that have involved the word shifting, that God's doing some shifting of, you know, for his glory and his honor, but that he has something very special and tangible here in this region. And in the last years, 2 years really, there's been a move in Frontline and a lot of ministries around the area that we've connected with to really come together in new ways, which is great. We've been praying and hoping and trusting for that. And we've been able to partner with a lot of people to see, to pray for this outpouring in this region while we're going to the nations. And you know that that's also part of our DNA. So it's for regional influence and it's for global impact. So that's why God, we believe, started us going overseas in the early years, 95, all the way through, and continues to do that today, establishing some things for us to be able to carry into the future. So there is vision that he has given us to be able to say, that's from you. What do you want us to do? We want to run with it. We don't want to drop it. We don't want to ignore it. We don't want to minimize it. We want to celebrate it and run with that vision. So with that in mind, we've always been praying and standing, continuing to go downtown in Canton with our black bus, wrecked bus, and go out on the streets and do all kinds of wild things over these years with outreach and as far as developing a lot of things here in Frontline Ministries International and Frontline Worship Center to that end, to the nations, but also, God, you're doing something here, and more people will be flooding in here to be able to participate in the global vision as well. Of what God's doing. So we're seeing that in the last couple of years around this region, and it's so exciting. So we've had worship teams coming in here, and we've gone elsewhere. We've gone on the streets together with people in Akron and Cleveland, and we're continuing to develop what God wants us to do here in the Canton Stark County area, because it's very strong. And so we're in that process and wanting more people to partake in that and participate with us in that, as we've tried to also bless that in the area of Cleveland and Akron and those surrounding regions. So it's very exciting for us right now. We're just kind of holding on, and the Lord's saying, as Josh led us today, don't lose hope, and notice where hope might have been lost or minimized in any way. And as we did raise our hands to pray and say, God, that's me in those little recesses of my heart. You do it. You come in. You stir me up. You fill me with hope. You renew me in those areas. You know, God doesn't want anybody missing something, knocked out, or not seeing his plan, his purpose, his vision, all of that. That's all of us together. We want that. So that's exciting to us. So if Michelle can come up, she had a vision in the last period of time. I don't know if it was last Tuesday or the Tuesday before. But it was during one of the heights of a worship time. It was very strong, and we're just going to ask her to share it. What God put on her heart and what you saw.
Sure. Well, to give some context, that Tuesday night was incredible, incredible worship. I believe Mike McCray was leading. And it was the same song the whole time, I think, but you never would have known it because of just the ebb and the flow. And it was so powerful. And it was like we'd get to this high climax of just, I would call it just spiritual ecstasy, just being in the heavenlies and just experiencing God on a high level. At one point, I felt like my insides were going to explode. And then normally, like, you know, it'll come down a little bit after that and go back up, but it didn't come down. It just kept going up and up and up and up. It's almost like, you know, you're holding your breath and then you're like, you're about to explode, but then you get more breath or something. And I felt like it was just an incredibly holy time, incredibly indicative of just what the Lord is pouring out in this body, that we really, there has been an increase. And if you don't feel it or sense it, ask someone to pray for you because it's there. And so I saw a picture of a baby being born, and his head was crowning, And I just heard the Lord saying to push, to push, to push. And there were a lot of words being spoken out that night, but I got on the mic and I really felt like it was a time where we were in such high worship and so connecting with the heavenlies. And there was such a purity that the Lord was saying, okay, yes, this is to enjoy me. This is to experience me. And this is to be more ruined for me. But this is also a moment where you need to start pushing in prayer, or you need to start taking this pregnant moment, this moment, you know, to just start going for it and praying. And the things that you've been contending for individually, but also that we've been contending for as a body and in our region, to push in the spirit. And some of us, I mean, I know PMP and I were up against the wall over there pushing. The Lord was leading people to speak out different things and do different things. But he was just saying, keep pushing, keep pushing. And if I may share a scripture that the Lord put on my heart at the beginning of worship, because it goes with the word Cynthia shared 9 years ago. And it's interesting that the picture was about arrows, because that the Lord put that scripture about Elisha in my heart at the beginning of worship. And in 2 Kings 13, the word of the Lord. So King Jeroboam took over the throne of Israel, and Elisha came down sick. It was the sickness of which he would soon die. Jehoshaphat, king of Israel, paid him a visit. When he saw him, he wept openly, crying, my father, chariot and horsemen of Israel. Elisha told him, go and get a bow and some arrows. The king brought him the bow and arrows. Then he told the king, put your hand on the bow. He put his hand on the bow. Then Elisha put his hand over the hand of the king. Elisha said, now open the east window. He opened it. Then he said, shoot, and he shot the arrow. The arrow of God's salvation, exclaimed Elisha. The arrow of deliverance from Aram. You will do battle against Aram until there's nothing left of it. Now pick up the other arrows, said Elisha. He picked them up, and then he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. The king struck the ground 3 times, but then quit. The holy man became angry with him. Why didn't you hit the ground 5 or 6 times? Then you would beat Aram until he was finished. As it is, you'll defeat him 3 times only. And I believe that the Lord was speaking to us that striking the ground, that the scripture, it's like the pushing. And, you know, there's, if the Lord tells us to push, the Lord through Elisha told the king to strike the ground. He didn't give specific instructions, but he said, strike the ground, and it was in order to defeat an enemy. And, you know, what the Lord was speaking to my heart was the king probably thought, okay, I'll strike it 3 times. That seems good. I'll do it. But God wanted him to strike more. God wanted him to strike it more. God wanted him to push more. And there's a way, the scripture says, there's a way that seems right unto a man. We might just try to do something, but we need the Holy Spirit's revelation on it. We need the word of the Lord on it. We need to be in line and in complete alignment with what the Lord's saying in that moment. How hard should we push? How long should we push? What do we need to clear out of our lives so that we can have the strength and stamina to push? You know, how many times do we strike the ground? And the Lord has an appointment. He knows what he wants. It's not just what seems okay to us. And so that was the word that I was hearing from the Lord, it's a good thing. It's encouraging, but the Lord wants to increase us, I believe, this morning in our strength for battle, in our strength for war, in our persistence, in our stamina, and so that we can really go after it and defeat the enemy once and for all, not just a little bit. So that was it.
Ooh, that's a good word. I like that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Shel. That's really good. It was interesting because I was over here after she gave this word, and I was postured like this as a prophetic sign. I was pushing against here and just in the spirit. And I glanced over, and Michelle was next to me doing the same thing. And she's not trying to, I'm going to copy PMP. That's not Michelle. No, but there was a prophetic significance to that the Lord is very generationally oriented, and he's very happy with that in this house. And so I just want to thank God for that and what he's birthing and what he's going to continue to do. And when she gave this vision that Tuesday, I had a quick flash. It wasn't very long, but I actually saw this birthing taking place in the terms of the shoulders. I saw the head was born and the shoulders were being pushed through. So the Lord was, I believe, saying to me that this motion is accelerating, and this is not another umpty-umpty-ump number of years, I trust. I believe that. I believe he's saying this is an accelerated time. So anyway, I wish we did have that Heidi Baker clip. Maybe we can show it on Tuesday to kind of piggyback this. But she was really exhorting all of us living in this part of Ohio, and whoever would be watching that,
to stay strong and push, and that's not striving. It's work of the Spirit. It's work of the Spirit doing it through us, but getting us ourselves to the place where we lay down and die completely and let him lift us up so we can do, he can do that pushing through us. So that was very exciting. One thing that came to our minds this week, it didn't seem like the right timing last week. It happened actually a few days before last Sunday, but we wanted to stay in the flow of the Holy Spirit, that Pastor Samuel and Mama Vera of Gwakapom of Ghana, who are our ministry partners since 1998, I think. Am I right? 98? What? 98? We met them in the air on the way back from India in 1998. So anyway, we've been going there and we've ministered there, and God's given us a call, a vision to do something very strong and mighty through him, by him, in Ghana. And so he wanted to tell us that he was celebrating he and Mama Vera's 25th wedding anniversary. And we have a few pictures here that he sent us so you can see it. And when we were there, he was a lot younger, as well as Mama. And their kids, you know, were very small. And so you're going to see a little bit of a change here. There she is. They celebrated 25 years. They never had a wedding. They were married in a church, but they never had a reception. She never had a dress or any of that, that I understand. Oh, that's her. Yes, that's her twin sister. So they had a big celebration at their church. And there's Mama Vera, she and her twin sister, Ivy. Isn't that beautiful? Some of these people we know. And this is excitement in Ghana. Everything was green and white. And Mama made all of these decorations and things. Are there any other pictures? Yeah. Okay. Do you have a picture of the cake and other things there in your email? Right. Yeah. Well, you can show whatever you've got. But she's been very excited about this, and we love her very much. And Pastor Samuel was we were trying to get him on speakerphone on that day in August, August 24th, I think it was, or 20-something. And we tried, and Andy couldn't get him up, and he was told he couldn't talk on the phone by his best man. So anyway, that's why it didn't go through. We just wanted to say hello. So do we have a video or a picture or something? Okay. This is the end when they're husband and wife. Thank you, sweetie. So he's going to kiss the bride. If you haven't been to Ghana, I trust you will with us. We invite you. This is four children later. Look at those arms swinging.
That's so cute. Those of you who haven't been there and don't know him, I don't know what to say. Watch this next video. Actually, we felt to honor what God is doing there and to honor what these last 9 years have meant, because many of you have been going, had gone to Ghana who weren't there in 1998 and 1999. And so we have a video, the Ghana video, that where you're, the one I'm talking about. Yeah. If you can play that, we want to celebrate. This is an aspect of one part of the global side of things. So there's been a big emphasis in the last month or so with what's been going on regionally all summer, and it's been great. And of course, Mozambique. But we want to show this, and it's to the glory and honor of God, because He's used us, and because He's used these people. And it was just started with a a little chance meeting that was never chance. So we want to give God glory for what He's done.
Has given Frontline a kingdom vision for expansion in this region, and the Lord was providing the land to fulfill that vision through a Muslim chief. Several years later, the Gokis were able to lead this chief to the Lord as he renounced Islam. What a testimony of God's faithfulness.
In 2010, Frontline received a grant to dig and build an ultra-deep well. This project was completed in 2011. The people of the area now have a source of fresh, clean drinking water. Also, two buildings have been constructed on the land. One is primarily for the storage and leadership housing. The other building has been just completed and will be used for worship and prayer, housing missionary teams, and leadership. Electricity has been established and hooked up as well. This is an exciting time for expansion. Frontline continues to trust God to see the balance of needed funds come in for this community development project in northern Ghana, which we will believe will touch the four corners of the earth. The Lord loves to bring transformation to entire regions and nations. He is raising up a mighty army of kingdom warriors equipped with Christ's love to seek first the kingdom of God. This Ghana North initiative will be used to change lives in this region and beyond forever. Everything Frontline stands for and moves on and moves into is based on the saving love of Jesus Christ. Just as Luke 4:18 states, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the good news." With a heart of reformation, Frontline believes that this is the time and the season for Ghana to be transformed. We desire to co-labor with the business and Christian communities through partnerships that are aimed at bringing new life to Ghana's northern region. Please prayerfully consider partnering financially with Frontline Ministries International to witness the completion of this kingdom vision. May you be blessed abundantly in all ways. Thanks for watching.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And that just amazing things that the Lord has done. And not only are we thankful for where we are going, but what He has done these 9 years. And I think it's so important to keep that vision before us, to keep ourselves stirred up and remind ourselves of the things that have been spoken, of the things that have come and the things that are coming soon and quickly in this season that we're in. And we're just thankful for the Lord for so many, many more beyond 9 years, just so many more years. And we're going to just keep thanking the Lord with another video here to allow ourselves to be stirred up, that we're not just watching a video just to watch it, but to see yourself in the midst of what the Lord is doing, to see yourself in the midst of the vision, of the call, of what we were created to do individually and as a body, that we are truly a blessed body, that we are a group of people that have tasted and have known the goodness of God in ways that we don't even sometimes realize. It takes having a conversation sometimes with somebody else, and it's like, really? Because this is what I know of the Lord. This is what my God has done, because He is that good and that big. So we just want to keep thanking the Lord as we keep moving forward with another video. Okay.
I just want to add my voice, and just a quick word of that is that, you know, we were watching Ghana, and that's kind of the manifestation of things beginning, and I just believe the Lord wants to kind of demonstrate His heart as far as the power of a seed. So this other video is actually going to show kind of the bigger things that the Lord has been doing beyond just one section or one area. And I just kind of want to encourage you guys in your hearts just to take this and recognize what the Lord is able to do with a seed. And I know seeds look differently to different people and stuff, but the thing that the Lord keeps showing me more and more is His ability to expand and His ability to use a heart that's willing and a person who desires to see God move. And what I believe that this video is actually kind of the fruit of the seed of what we saw beginning in Ghana and then the Lord expanding it. And now what I want to just kind of release as a prophetic declaration is to recognize where the Lord wants to take it. And this is what we've seen in the past, and recognizing the seed that this is and how much more He wants to be able to do through our lives, and just taking that as the Lord's heart to expand His vision and His kingdom as on earth as it is in heaven. And it's just amazing when we step into that in agreement and recognize how the Lord has moved in incredible ways, what He's able to do to expand that. So take this video and just in your heart, just continue just to ask the Lord to show you even greater vision, because I believe that He wants to expand that even more as we're watching this video.
Senhor está trazendo nova vida para nós hoje.
He says Jesus is here amongst us.
Ele diz hoje Jesus está entre nós.
His spirit is here bringing miraculous breakthrough for our lives.
But God gives his love to you.
Mas Deus dá o amor dele para vocês.
And that covers it.
Isso.
The blood of Jesus covers it.
O sangue de Jesus cobre tudo isso.
All your sin, past, present, and future has already been died for.
Seu pai.
Healed Evan and given him new sight.
Can we just praise the Lord? Just thank God right now. Wow. None of this is possible without Him. So we just bless the name of the Lord. Yeah.
Well, before we release the children, many of you, the majority of you have probably heard that Amy and Dylan have decided to take their family to Georgia, and so we wanted to make sure that we gave an expression of our love to them this morning. Dylan has been secretary and treasurer as his primary roles in Frontline since basically the beginning. And so obviously we appreciate that. We want to honor that. And Amy has had many different roles, and you saw her in both of them and quite a few of the pictures of some of the trips and so on. So we have an expression of our love for you. And we just want to pray.
We just want to pray. We just want to exalt you, O God. We want to praise and thank you, O God. You are so amazing. We just love you so very much. We know that you are worthy of all honor and praise. And we just adore you. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you love us so very much. We thank you for this precious family. We thank you for your love for them, for Amy and Dylan and Charity and Michael. And we thank you, Lord God, that your hand is moving. And we thank you, Lord God, that we can come before you and ask you to surround them with your presence, to strengthen them, to bless them, to teach them, to apprehend their hearts in new ways. Because you are our God and you are our faithful warrior and lover. And we worship you, God. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. We give you praise. You are magnificent. You are glorious. You are victorious. And we thank you, Lord God, that you hold everything in the palm of your hands. We thank you, Lord, and we worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. And I don't think Michael and Charity may remember this this time, but, you know, hopefully you'll be able to share that with them. And we all look a little younger in those videos, don't we? Yeah. So God bless you guys and bless the name of the Lord. We're just going to release the children now into kingdom land. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we've had a lot of different videos and thoughts and words expressed today, so this is probably going to be a little bit shorter, just like it's been getting shorter and shorter on some days, which is great at times. But we're just going to go ahead and I have some water here somewhere. There it is. Just want to share a few thoughts today. I know that we have a young adult conference coming up. We have Ruined, and I know that the last song that we sang was just so amazing because it was all about being ruined. I don't know if Darlene wrote that song or not. I figured so. Carl's saying yes. So that wasn't that amazing? Do you see the increase here in this house for songs, worship songs, and just the various creative moves of God in so many ways? I know that when we were in England, in Doncaster, England, for Reinhard Bonnke conference on our way, I think, to Ghana, I had a vision, and Josh was next to me, and I saw this amazing worship team. It was our worship team that we didn't have yet like that on the stage, and that was, I don't know how many years ago that was. Somebody can help me. It was a very long time ago. And I saw people there that I didn't know, and I just saw all these people up there with all these instruments and everything, and I said, Josh, I'm having this vision of this huge worship team, and it wasn't necessarily the number of people, it just was a change,
But I think it was signifying that we're making a difference. The sounds of heaven were going to come through, and it did increase in every way. So since that time, we've had the school of worship that's been developed through that, and a lot of people have been raised up as psalmists and leaders, worship leaders, and more are coming. And not only here at Frontline being used by God, but also in the nations and all around this area too. So it's just very exciting to see that. So thank you, Darlene, or thank you, Lord, for working through Darlene and writing that beautiful song about being ruined. Something tells me you'll be hearing that at the conference. I don't know why. Yeah. So not knowing where this is going to go, Lawrence, is there anything you wanted to mention, or Cynthia, about the conference at all? If there's anything you want to... your vision casting. Is there anything you wanted to mention about this conference? It starts next Friday. Okay, and as he's coming up here, I just want to say that we won't have Sunday morning service. Everybody hear that? Every year we've been doing this. He can figure out how many of these we've had over the years. I don't know. A lot. Typically two each year. But we're going to meet here at 6 o'clock next Sunday night, which is great. You can bring your neighbors and friends and whoever.
So we... raise your hand if you were here Friday night. Yeah. I think there's several in the back. Huh? Did she just do that? Sorry, I was in the back. So we've been just coming here and just getting into God's presence and just seeking his face. And so everything that's been coming together for this next weekend has been kind of birthed out of that desire, out of that time with the Lord. And there's this seemingly new creative flow to what's happening for this coming weekend. There's people randomly texting me with these ideas that just seem to come in at the exact right time. It's like I'm praying, Lord, how does this fit in? And then I get a text from somebody that says, hey, I was thinking about maybe adding this to the conference. I'm like, oh my God, like, oh my God, like that's, oh my God. So if you guys know anybody, I know several of you guys have had awesome testimonies about going out and with those flyers for Ruined. We've got more if you guys want to paper the whole city. This week, they're turning into incredible evangelism tools. Like people are getting saved, healed, and delivered just by handing out these flyers, and it's opening doors to share the gospel and share the power and love of Christ. So there's an anointing for this. So I just encourage you guys to keep praying. It starts on the 19th, Friday, this 19th, and I've connected with a lot of you guys that are involved, but if you guys have any questions or any other ways that you want to kind of plug in, even this week, let me know, and we'll have opportunities. But we've got more flyers if you want to invite people. Yeah, I think we've got – do we have one more work day? Wednesday? Yeah, Wednesday night we got one more work day just to kind of see everything be brought together. But the creativity and flow in this thing is just
– amazing. I also want to thank God for what happened yesterday. I think Andy has some pictures. Yes? Andy, maybe Kim and Rick, do you want to come up and speak about that? I guess we're sorry we didn't do that during the announcement time or the transition time. So this is another part of the transition. So if one of you want to come and just share a little bit about yesterday. It was amazing. He's in the you can speak, Kim. It's okay. There are a lot of you that came out yesterday to help honor the Lord. He's coming. Okay. Oh, what's that? Oh, you're going. I didn't see these. Oh, nuts. Okay. Oh, there we go. Okay. Rick and Kim. Come on, Rick.
Talk about yesterday. You mean we talk about the pictures up there?
Well, we had a cleanup day yesterday. That is our four-wheeler, and that helped us much. And, you know, we had a group here that all pitched in together, and we were able to clean up around the front of the church, all around the building, actually, and got much accomplished. And Don, the Iron Man, he was magnificent. And what a worker he is. And Pastor Bill, of course. Jamie, she did work. She just got a little tuckered out there. And Jamie showed her pruning skills. I think that's Tiana and Carly back there, just cleaning out the weeds. And the side of the church over there where we laid some stone and just trying to make it, you know, real nice what God's given us. You know, we're so blessed to have this building. And we just want to take care of it and, you know, make it nice and keep it nice. So we'll have periodic cleanup days like this. We want to work on the little sign out there next in the future. So that's in the works. And we'll let you know about that. So thanks to all that came and pitched in with that. We were able to get a lot done, and we're real happy at the end of the day what how it all turned out, and just how when we came together and had a great time and just got a lot done. It was really fun. So thanks so much.
This may not seem like a big deal to you all, but it's a huge deal. It really is, and I was doing a lot of different things yesterday, juggling a lot of different things, and I came over here, but I wasn't doing the hard labor that these guys were doing, and others who are not in these pictures. There were others, there were shifts, so people were coming and going, and there was food here, and it was brilliant. So I got to take some of these pictures and see the work and all of that, and it was just a reminder to me of how important each one of us is to the Lord. And how he cares about the smallest detail. He really does. And wants us to do our best to try to say thank you and recognize each person. And sometimes that could get lost in a busy time or whatever. But it doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't see. And so it just always reminds me to be able to say to you guys, thank you so much for your love, your faithfulness to the vision that God has given us. To the gospel of the kingdom, to him first, and then being willing to sacrifice and to do what's hard. This was not easy. It's much more fun to go take a walk in the park. But this is something that people chose to give up their Saturday to come and do. And I was thinking about that when we were showing the video about all these great and mighty things that we see. And it's like, wow, 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 you know, overseas. And I was reminded that Rick and Kim put this idea out there, and then people jumped on it and everything. And when I looked at Rick in the videos of times in Ghana particularly, I was just reminded of when we were on our land one time in Ghana North, and Rick is sweating bullets. I mean, it's really hot, and he's doing whatever he can with those with us to be able to make a makeshift bathroom for the Kingdom Bible School students, the pastors and the leaders who were coming, and going out there and doing that and working. We're just trying to scrounge up what materials can we use just so that these people can have some privacy. We gave them our little tents and tried to make some rugged shifts to help them keep the rain off and everything. But the point is that the little details of trying to help someone else out are really important to the Lord. And he looks at all of those things, and he's very grateful. And we just want to increase in that, in a spirit of gratitude as well. And thank you so much for coming out and shoveling stones and picking weeds and doing much more than that. I mean, people were tired after this day. My husband was there all day, and he was exhausted when he got back too. But this is what, you know, God says is important also when you're going to the nations or you're going to witness on the streets downtown. You know, Rick isn't saying, well, listen, I'm going to go share the gospel in a village in Ghana North, and I'm going to share in front of a bunch of Africans what I think God is saying. You know, that's my call, and I'm just not going to go do this. And so I saw that heart, and it's not just for him, but it's for everybody. And I think that's very important. So God bless you. Whether you were here or not here, that's not the point. The Lord is watching, and he's seeing the efforts that we make to lift his name up and bless him. So thank you for that. It's a big deal. God bless you all for that. Okay, I'm going to say a few things that God's going to give me here from the book of Revelation, because he has been really highlighting some things to me in this season more and more and more. He has been showing me different things that he wants to bring out, and I believe that he's raising up people in this house to be able to speak well about not only the last days from a perspective of, well, this is what it seems to be that is going to come to take place. In other words, the big end time events, to speak well about that as it's shown in Scripture, but also, more importantly, I believe, behind that, to be able to exalt the name of Jesus and to express to the masses here and around the world what God is saying in this hour to us about how we believers need to posture ourselves, need to prepare ourselves for what's coming. And it's about the revelation of Jesus Christ, for he's coming back. So when we say we are the bride of Christ, when we say that we are worshiping you in spirit and in truth, which is all true, when we are saying, Lord, come, 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 Lord Jesus, the Spirit and the bride say, come, that we will understand the context that surrounds those words that we speak out, and that we will have such a longing in our heart to lift up the name of Jesus in that, that we will be aware of any other attempt at concentrating on end days theology, on eschatology, on the last days, on the end times, etc., other than, or before, I should say, the name of Jesus being lifted up, the name and the nature and who God is. This book is so important. The Lord knew that this would be something that would be coming to pass, and we need to see how this is going to affect us. And I've been speaking a little bit about this to people on Tuesday nights here and there. Also, when I was in Mozambique this summer, the Lord put it on my heart before Mozambique that this is a season to delve into that. So I am going to be organizing some classes and things like that. That's coming. I don't have the dates for you. And I believe what the Lord is saying and releasing now is a healthy way to be able to step in to our understanding, especially in light of what we see overseas, but not alone because of that. Because of, I believe, what God is saying to the churches right now. And he's saying, I want to express myself to you, and I don't want you to miss this. This is, it's not as though it's something new. Revelation, we've studied this, some of us, many, many years ago, and we've dabbled in it. But I really believe that a healthy view of what he's saying about Jesus Christ himself and then what surrounds that will really help us as these things start to unfold, event-wise especially. So we want the event to take place in our heart, the events to take place in our heart, so that when the events that are going to come to this earth, as God has orchestrated here, that we will have greater faith, if you will, and we will hopefully become more and more fearless as time goes along. God does not want us to stay in our little pampers and diapers, our meaning any of us, any of his sons and daughters. He's calling us to grow and to mature into a faith that can look things in the eye and have the word of the Lord, knowing what God is doing. So this is a progression of what God is bringing in, a culmination in Revelation, culmination of the world as we know it here, but there's even more. It's not just what's going to happen. Can I feed my kids? What's the mark of the beast? All of those things that we will definitely go through and discuss. But more than that, what is the Holy Spirit saying? It's so important. And I believe with the shifts that have been going on in the Spirit in recent times, particularly in worship and in expression and humility, depths of humility and willingness to really go low and not just say, God, I just want to die daily every day. But to take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow him, he says, Jesus says these words, you will follow me, but this is my call for you, to take up your cross daily, deny yourself, and follow me. So deny yourself means that self is going to be put somewhere else, and it's not enough, I don't believe, in the seasons we're going into anymore to just speak about it, and not that we are, but God is saying, I want to capture your hearts in new ways. There is much coming on this earth, and our little people that we see are so cute and they're feeling so loved and warmed and such here, and that's great. They're going to be facing things potentially in their lifetime that none of us have faced before. And so we're trusting and believing. Many are speaking around the world that this is the generation who will be part of the second coming of Jesus, and we're going to talk about what that will look like. And there are many places in this generational line. So there are the olders, the middles, the youngers, and those who are still up and coming. But this is a generation that will see the Lord. We're trusting and believing for that. And no one knows the day or the hour, but we do know the times and the seasons. And God doesn't want us to be, He doesn't want us to be afraid. And sometimes it's like, oh, don't go there, don't go there. I just like it the way it is. Can't we just leave it the way it is? And God says, well, I don't think I ever want to leave you the way you are. So this is a very exciting time. And I just want to read a little bit from Revelation 1, just to whet your appetite, but not to go into it in too much depth right now. But if you have your Bibles, the revelation of Jesus Christ, if you'll note from the first few words in chapter 1, that this book is about the revelation of Jesus Christ. You can look at it, you can read it. The revelation of Jesus Christ. So the book Revelation is about him. It's about him, as is every other book in the Bible. All 66 books in the Bible are about him, God's love for us, and what God wants to show us through that love, through him, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which gave him, which God gave him to show to his bondservants. And God is the Father, and him is Jesus. So the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place. And he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John. Okay, so we know there's the authenticity here. The Lord is saying these will take place, and soon is relative to us, isn't it? Because we know this was written a long time ago. And he was sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John. So the angel of the Lord communicated this to John, so we know that it was supernatural. We know that the angel continues to speak to John as you do read through the book of Revelation. And you can see there are what we also refer to or call pauses. Just a Selah pause after something is discussed, where it seems as though the angel is having a little fireside chat with John to answer questions or to really confirm what it is he may not fully understand. Remember, he's called to report. He is called to receive the revelation and to give it to us through him, but it's anointed and it's God-inspired and God-breathed, as all Scripture is. And so in a sense, the end of what's going to come here to us is canonized in that it is an accepted word of the Lord that's all accepted around the world, accepted in Christendom as being authentic and true, and don't mess with it. Okay, now let's just go right to the end of the book, if you would. Go to the very last page. And let's look in chapter 22 under the final message. So we're going from the first chapter to the final chapter. In verse 10, he says, "And he said to me, quote, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near.'" Sometimes people have taken this, I believe, out of context and referred to all Scripture, which is true. God does not want us to change his words. But this is very specific, as is this revelation given by an angel to John, which we just read. And there's a warning at the end. "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near." So it's speaking about revelation, speaking about the book of Revelation. "Let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who is filthy still be filthy, and let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness, and the one who is holy still keep himself holy." And then Jesus speaks, verse 12. "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me." And the reward with Jesus, of Jesus, is us. We are his reward. And so we are part of securing, apprehending, if you will, the reward for Jesus Christ. The Lamb who was slain is going to get the reward for his suffering, and we are the reward. And so the reward is us. It's the family. It's his children. It's the bride of Christ, and that's us. And that's why we were created, and that's our mandate on earth as it is in heaven. To see that come, not just God say, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's very important, strategic. I'm not minimizing it. That's the cry of my heart. I believe the cry that God is saying to us right now. But when God says that to us very clearly, he's saying, I'm going to give you revelation of what that's going to look like, and it's going to blow your mind. You are not going to get this at first, because I have to give it to you. You can read it, but it's going to be by revelation of the Spirit. We need the revelation of the Holy Spirit to understand the book of Revelation in its fullness, it's in its entirety. It's not just, well, we agree to disagree, because Jesus doesn't operate that way. And there are different beliefs in Christianity, but ultimately, the Lord himself knows. So I want to agree with what he's saying, and then posture myself to say, God, I'm in training, I'm learning, I'm being trained to reign with you. And so from what you're revealing to me at this point in my life, which is I'm trusting going to go for a very long time and believing so that I can be part of this end time plan in greater fullness, I'm saying to you, God, change me, teach me, apprehend me, show me, and because this is labeled the final message. So with that in mind, God says, approach this book from a place of humility and see what I will do, and I may show you things. You may be people in this room that will find something in Scripture that has not been released yet. Is that possible? I believe. Meaning that God says there are mysteries here, and I will release that through the prophets, the apostles, and to the church. I will do that. And so, okay, God, that doesn't mean that it's not in here. It means that we want to understand. So we need the spirit of wisdom. We need the spirit of understanding. We need the spirit of revelation. We need the spirit of knowledge, don't we? We need him. We need the spirit of the fear of the Lord, which is going to open our eyes to say, wow, God, if you're not coming back till all this or most of this is said and done, I'm okay with that. I do not have a preconceived philosophy that I'm raptured out of here before any of this touches the earth. I'm going to say to you, God, I want to agree with what you're doing in and through the church. You see? It's not just, well, I'm going to take a position. I'm pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, which is during a tribulation time of 7 years, the one that we're talking about in Revelation. And God says, I want to shake us all up to be able to see what is he saying overall as the big end time plan for the church. That's us. We are the church. So we need to know what our function, what our role is, where martyrdom fits, where the rapture does fit. What does that mean? How is Jesus coming back? What events must take place? What is our place in intercession? What can we thwart through our prayers? What will take place anyway? What are some things? How do we look at that? And I believe that's the cry of everyone's heart. But God is saying, I need to speak to all of us to be able to get us in a place of being willing to hear some things that are new to us. So he says in verse 12, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Now, we quote that in song. We quote that on Tuesday nights. We quote that in our quiet times with our spouses or whatever. We may sing it. We may wake up in the morning and have it on our hearts. And we're saying, okay, God, yes, Jesus, yes, yes, you are coming quickly. And your reward is with you. And you are going to render to every man according to what he has done. Verse 13, when he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, he says, I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the first and the last. Everything is about me, for me, by me, through me, and it's culminating in that fashion as well. So it's time for us to take a look at that from a new perspective, perhaps. So verse 14 reads, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. And when we look at something like that, when we're in peace and we're operating in really relatively from a place of comfort, wouldn't you say? This is a pretty cushy life compared to living in Iraq or Syria or other places right now. So from that perspective, wow, we say, okay, God, we can see there's a line drawn, and I'm glad I'm on that other side. But what we want to see is what's happening prior to and understand chapter 22 so that we can really do what we're called to do in the season that we're on this earth. And some of us, maybe all of us, we may very well see the second coming of Jesus where he comes in the clouds and he comes and he makes himself known, and that there's a whole lot to talk about there. And wouldn't that just be so wonderful? And so there are many who believe that in the body of Christ, who are trusting God for that and believing that this is the generation who will see his face. And God knows, because everything is on his shoulders. So thank God for that. But we want to be sure to see that there are many scriptures in between all of this that talk about a great falling away. It talks about a very large portion of the earth, people on the earth dying and being killed. It's just incredible. It's cataclysmic. It's apocalyptic. It's huge. And God says, but still, I'm your daddy, and I love you, and anything that I am doing in you doesn't change. I might change how I'm doing things, but the fact that is I love you, and that will never change. But your role is to get to know me, have that revelation of me, as indicated by chapter 1, first few verses, so strong that all you do is live and declare and breathe and think about me at home, on your job, with your children, while you're walking in the park, while you're shoveling stones, while you're teaching another Kingdom Bible school in Ghana or whatever it would be. When the Lord gives a vision, as he has, for example, with Ghana, we don't believe that's our vision. We believe that's his vision, and we have the privilege and honor of partnering with it, and we don't take it lightly, and we don't dismiss it and say, well, I hope it happens someday. We don't do that. We can't do that. We could do that, but I believe God says that there is something that is planned specifically for that region, for Ghana, and for the countries in Africa. It's like, wow, okay, and that's just what we know right now. It's going to go way beyond that, and I believe that many here, even the little children here, will be doing great exploits for the Lord, maybe in a very dangerous place by then. In the future, I don't know. But right now, he said, the doors are open. Get moving. Move and carry this vision. Don't let go of this. So I ask you to pray about this, you know, from that perspective, with the book of Revelation in mind behind that, and the children that are here and grandchildren and those who are coming, that are coming. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel. Isn't it interesting? The letters are in red. But he said, I, Jesus, he declares, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things to the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine John? Can you imagine after having that apocalyptic release? Can you imagine that? Having Jesus speak these words, I have sent my angel to testify to you. Okay, boss. For the churches, I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. So when we see things on television, the book of Revelation is not for them. It's not for the news. So we interpret what we see. We watch and we go to the Lord and we say, all right, God, you've increased us, or you're wanting to increase us with the spirit of intercession. You want to increase our hope. God gave such a beautiful release today in the area of hope that Josh heard from the Lord and spoke it out. And he's saying, this needs to be the pattern of our life, because this is relatively easy comparatively where it may possibly go. And that's not a scary statement. It's a truthful statement. No one said it was going to be easy, but it's going to be brilliant, because this future that we are living in is glorious, and we are to be partnered with the victorious one. And we can leave here filled up with joy, knowing that the bright and morning star, the descendant of David, the root of Jesse, the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star, has spoken. So therefore, when we're tethered to him, nothing will shake us. And we will see that which is not of the hand of the Lord. We will see. We will see what is not his best, we will see what is not, because he's trying to speak to us and get our attention. He's saying we will see it in humility. We will not see it in arrogance. We will see it only in humility. Verse 17 is key. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. When Heidi Baker, we didn't get to see, spoke these words out to this region in 2010, she said this. She said, there's a cost to pay. It's costly. This birthing privilege that we have to be part of and be recipients of, we're in this area for a reason, is costly. It will cost us something. And that's, you know, possibly scary if we don't trust God. And so if we do trust him, then we can say, God, this cost, whatever it is, you've already paid the largest cost. So this cost for us came from you first, and you will hold us in the palm of your hands no matter what, and we will be your mouthpieces, and we will release your glory, whatever it looks like, and our lives will be fully laid down. That's so exciting to me. So exciting. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. Is that us? Will we take the water of life without cost? Isn't that interesting? The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. So the one who hears and the one who is thirsty will be seeing and hearing what the Spirit is saying to the churches. I posted on my Facebook last week or sometime, I don't remember exactly when, it was just really on my heart that I was reading through Revelation and studying and such, and it just hit me again. Known this for a long time, but it hit me that at the end, in chapters 2 and 3 in Revelation, when Jesus had a message to the churches at that time, it was also for a message to the end time church that we believe we're part of. And he says at the end, Jesus says at the end of each message to each church where there are difficulties, there's good things too, but there are difficulties in the church. He says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. The exact words, read them 7 times. That'll shake us up. Like, whoa, whoa. If this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, and it's certainly written for the churches in that day as well, but it's for the culmination of history as we know it and the bringing down of the eternal plan of Jesus Christ in its fullness, that then also includes all of us. It's to and for all of us. So let the Spirit, let our ears be willing to hear what the Spirit is saying. He who has ears, let him hear. So I believe the cry of our heart needs to be more and more and more in this season. Jesus, I need your ears. I need to hear. I need to hear. I need to hear. It doesn't mean we don't hear at all. But I believe the Lord is saying that when we cry this way, Lord, I need to hear what you're really saying, what you're really doing on in other places and other levels that I've not really understood. Or maybe it's murky and maybe I'm just not sure. But God, this is my heart, because you say, let them hear. You say it in the beginning, chapters 2 and 3, and that's before all this stuff really starts flying. But you see, everything is built up and built in God's economy and plan. And he's saying it's time for maturity. What does that mean? Okay, make me mature. I believe that, again, God is saying, mature me, mature me, mature me. And recognize those who have gone before us, hear the words that they've spoken. Those who are in our midst, hear the words they are speaking and have spoken. And don't let go of them. That's why I'm so excited today, also, another reason, so excited about the fact that we've completed 9 years in this building. And there are many prophetic visions, words, dreams, many, that I believe were from God, of place beyond this place, in this region, that is much bigger, much larger, with people coming in that some we even know. however God wants to do that. They're very specific, and I believe they're from God. The fear of God is on me to ignore those in any way, because he's saying this is part of this end time destiny and plan. So we hold the vision out before the Lord, so the attention is on him. That's not calling attention to us. It's calling attention to him to say, you gave it. What I say to people if they say, do I have to believe a dream and a vision, or do I have to follow it? I always say, if you get something like that from God, then you hold fast to it. But it's not going to be in contradiction to something else, because God doesn't contradict himself. It's like, whoa. So the onus is on the Lord. But when he has spoken, he is clear. And he says, I'm giving you this, and you will carry it. If I've given you something, carry it and guard it. Wow. Guard it. And humbly say, God, forgive me if I haven't. I think we all need a measure of eating more humble pie, taking that fork and taking that bite out of the plate, the humble plate. Amen? So, I love this. And then 18, we're almost finished. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. Okay, get ready. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. I don't know about you, but I have to believe that word as much as any other word. It's like, what? Wait a minute. This is under the new and better covenant. This is the day of grace, where God loves everybody. Oh, God is saying something to us that we must hear, that there will be many, many things that will rise in these last days that will formulate so that our itching ears will hear what they really want to hear and call it God. That's a scary place to be. And what we want to do is raise the standard. God, I don't want to be a person whose itching ears will hear what it wants to hear, because we won't be as effective, and we can also fall prey to things that won't help us out or anybody else. The enemy has to stop that. Josh said it this morning and through the Lord. The Lord said it through him, that he wants to render us hopeless, the enemy, or take our eyes or our ears away from what God has planted already, you see, which reduces hope to be able to continue on and go forward. Would I have loved to have had a birthing of 9 months, being in this building 9 months, and then, phew, there's a new something? Yes, and I believe there have been many little things that have happened, little maybe to us, in the sense of, well, we're still in the building, but it's really not little. It's very big. You know, God has said to us, don't look at size, don't look at numbers. You look at me, you stay with me, and I will do what I said I will do. And I will do it, and believe it, receive it, and walk forward in it, and own it. And so it's like, okay, so here we are 9 years at the end. And are we just trying to grab onto something? Well, you just like the number 9, the biblical number that talks about birthing. Well, I don't think it's trying to grasp onto something. I believe the Lord has been speaking to our leadership here and saying, this is going on. There's something, hang on, hang on, hang on. There have been many prophetic words about fire being released around this building, around this region, around this place, around the people, and fire and revival and all those things. And we never want to get to a place and go, well, I've heard that before. Let's get on with business. This is God's business. He's saying, I need you to be able to proclaim the truth of the revelation of Jesus Christ. I need you. I'm looking for people who will do that with integrity, with authenticity, with validity, in truth, where the Spirit and the bride say, come together. And I believe that we are a company of people who will do that. I believe on my face before the Lord in tears that that's what he was saying to us, that is another call. And that God has been waiting for the right timing to release more in that area in the book of Revelation. Not that we haven't. We have been. We've always referred to various things when we sing out and pray out. But to move into a place that's going to give us more ammo, if you will, in the spirit, more arrows, as Michelle was talking about. So I'm just very excited about that. It doesn't mean, okay, now this is one of those churches and all they do is study the last days, I'm out of here type thing. No, 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 it's not like that. Because I've been in Bible studies where, okay, what happens next? I mean, years and years ago, as a baby believer, it's like the first thing you want to do is all learn about the book of Revelation, right? Okay, there's an Antichrist. What's that? What's the mark of the beast? Is that going to touch me? I'm not talking about that. Although those things are in the book. I'm saying that we're approaching this from a new place with the word being preached from here and worship here merging and coming together in new ways, new things that God is doing, that it's going to birth something completely different that I'm just holding on going, wow, wow, God. That's all I can say is wow right now. If anyone takes away from the words 19 of the book of this prophecy, God will take, and prophecy means it's going to happen, right? God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book. Why is this so strong? That's what we want to know. Because it would be attacking the revelation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see? And so we can't minimize. We don't want to have some fear campaign going. God is saying, listen, I'm laying this out and I am clear and you can know what I'm saying. Don't believe these lies that says everything is just symbolic. Come on. I speak to you so you can hear and you can get this. Unless I specifically tell you, take it as it is. Verse 20, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. Wow. I'm going to read, we read the first verse in chapter 1, just 2 and 3, and then stop. And I want you to think about this, pray about this, and we'll see what God does. This may be part of relentless pursuit, not sure yet, how God's doing things, just trying to be sensitive. Okay, I told Cynthia this morning, the Lord usually gives Pastor Bill and I a word to preach, and it might be, who knows when. It might be that morning, it might be 2 weeks before, who knows when it is. God gives the word. We don't want to be holding this unless we have a word from him. No thank you, because I fear God. I want to fear him more. And so I was asking him this morning as I came in, did you have a word for me? And all I kept hearing was revelation. That's all I kept hearing. That's all. That's the word revelation. That's all. And so, even through all of this today, I really didn't know. I stood up right here. I said, Lord, do you want me to speak about Revelation? All I heard was yes. That's it. That's all I know. So that's what you get. This is what he's telling me to tell you. And so, verse 2 and 3, chapter 1, let's read verse 1 again. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place, and he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Verse 3, blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of the prophecy, and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Let's look at verse 3 again, please. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear. There's a difference. You read and you hear, and he wants both. Read and hear the words of this of the prophecy, and then he says, and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. And I declare that we are people who will heed individually, corporately, wherever we go, whatever nation we're going to, however God's going to do it, we're going to have a I believe, we won't be fooled because we want to take this during a season in time that he's speaking to us about newer things for us maybe to think about in addition to what's on our heart and our plate already. And I just really believe. And it may not be for every place, every church, every spot. But I believe he's saying, incorporate this now in a new, different way. and watch what I do. Amen? Amen. Yeah. I just want to pray right now. I'm going to ask, if you are right with this, Lena, just love the Revelation song that you wrote, the last one, Carl told us, that Ruined was written by you. So you were out, I think. Would you mind coming and singing that again as we close? I want to pray. I want to close. God bless you. But we want to pray for you right now and want to hear that. And the worship team, if you can join. Join them. And this song is very prophetic. It's not just for a conference. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. This is an exciting time to be alive. This is the most exciting time ever. Isn't it? Isn't it thrilling? My gosh. Wow. Yeah. So my exhortation as I pray for you is this, that you allow the Lord to take you back to the beginning and ask him to stir you. Open your ears. Open your eyes. Because we need to have incredible thanksgiving and appreciation for what he has done to be able, I believe, to even understand this book. Honestly. Thankful hearts, grateful hearts, humble hearts, submissive hearts, and I believe that's here with you guys. So I just believe God wants to deepen that, especially with the challenges that we've just heard from Revelation from the beginning and from the end. So Father, we just thank you and we praise you for such a beautiful morning. We thank you, Lord God, that your name, truly, we desire to be exalted in this place. And we thank you for the last almost 20 years. Thank you, God, that you brought us together with a thought and an idea and a vision that you gave us, that you planted in our hearts to carry, God. And we want to be faithful to steward that wisely and not run from it, not fear it, not take it lightly. And Father, thank you that during that season, the beginning years, that you brought us here 9 years ago to take another step in the fulfillment and the procurement of that ever-expanding vision. We thank you for that as well. Lord, without you, this is impossible. And at times it has felt like that. But Father, that's a feeling and it's not true. So I thank you, Lord, that if we've ever had a feeling of, that we are grabbing on to the hope that you have released, Lord God, for this day, for the future, as we culminate this service today at the end of our 9 years, excited about what's coming and extremely grateful, way beyond what we've experienced before in gratitude and gratefulness, Lord. Wow. That we would be able to see our hearts expanded in those ways so we can link arms with where we're going and what's happening. Thank you, God. You're so faithful. You're so good. So good. So good. We just lift your name up. We praise your holy name. Thank you, God, that we would really, really be ruined for you. That would be the posture of our heart that would never change. Our wording wouldn't change, but that you would change us so it really could come to pass. God, let it be. In Jesus' name.
Jesus, what a love.
nails pierce through your head. Let's for a moment put the scars upon your back. I have no words, no way to thank you enough. Oh, Jesus, what a love. Oh, Jesus, what a love. Presence, we are.
For your honor, for your glory, for your praise. You are worthy, O God, of all. Father, we thank you that your kingdom shall be established on earth as it is in heaven. And we thank you, Lord God, that we are declaring that you, by your Spirit, will bring us to a place where we are completely ruined for you on every front, at all times, for the rest of our lives. And Father, we decree that that will be our portion as your children, and that we will pass that on to our grandchildren and children and grandchildren, Lord willing. In Jesus' name, we celebrate you. And we thank you for these last 9 years. We thank you for nearing 20. We thank you, Lord God, for everything that you have started and birthed. And Lord, we look forward to the future. But Father, we're so grateful to testify of the past and the present. In Jesus' name, we declare it. Amen. Can we just celebrate with great... Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.